This is The Urban Connection, the weekly show on issues that affect the community.
You've probably heard of the keto diet, but does it work? And is it safe? We'll find out from an expert.
In the beginning, you may feel like, hey, you know, this is costing more than I used to buy, but trust me, when your body actually eats the right food, you eventually need less food.
I'm Leonard Birdsong. The Urban Connection starts right after this.
Now, The Urban Connection continues. Once again, here's Leonard Birdsong.
Hello, folks. This is Leonard Birdsong on The Urban Connection. I have a guest today who's going to talk to us about better eating and getting to higher health. Her name is Kelly Tan Peterson, and she's been eating a well-formulated keto diet for the last 10 years. She has lost weight. She feels great. She has normalized her cholesterol, her blood pressure, and blood glucose levels, and she does not have diabetes because of this diet. Kelly, can you tell us something about this ketogenic lifestyle? Many people probably haven't heard about it in our community, but what is it?
Yes. Hi, Leonard. Thank you for having me. Yes, I have been on a ketogenic diet lifestyle for the last 10 years. And basically, the keto diet, which is a short form of ketogenic diet, is basically the ancestry diet, which is, you know, our hunter and gatherer ancestors in the past used to eat mainly the animal proteins and the fat that comes along it long before the agriculture started. So actually, keto diet is focusing on eating real food, which is nutritious food that includes animal protein and fresh vegetables and the good fat that form this whole diet that gave our body the good nutrients that we all need. So this is what keto diet is all about.
And you say, at least you've told me, that 150 years ago, people were eating this kind of diet.
Mm-hmm.
And science now proves that it's probably really good for us.
Yes.
Essentially, we're talking about low carbs and high fat. Now, to some people, that sounds pretty bad. But you've done well with this diet. Why don't you tell us how you got into it? I know, I also should say that I know that you were from Singapore, mm-hmm. and originally you ate a lot of carbs. But what happened to you, and how did you change your life?
Oh, yes. I grew up eating so much carb. In Singapore, I'm the Chinese descent. And our staple food is mainly rice and noodle and bread and all kind of sweet pastries and desserts. This is how the way I grew up, and it worked for me when I was younger. And food is love to me in my family, because this is how my parents show their love to us together with my siblings, that they feed us with good food, and to them, you know, they get all the food they can and feed us. So this is an expression of love from my parents, and it works well for me to eat the way it was. Until I was late 20s, and I realized that it doesn't work anymore, because I began to put on so much weight, and I struggle with putting on weight and keeping slim and loving to eat food for more than 20 years. Until when I met my husband, I was at 43. And imagine, for the almost 20 years, I was struggling with keeping my blood glucose in check, because I experienced hypoglycemia due to the food reaction that I eat with high carbohydrate. And then that increases my blood glucose and increases my insulin level. And then again, is my blood glucose level crash. And that's how I got hypoglycemia symptoms for like many years.
What is hypoglycemia? Most people don't know about it, and I don't know about
yes.
it. What is it?
Well, hypoglycemia is actually a symptom where your blood glucose goes too low. So the phenomenal thing is that my symptom of hypoglycemia actually is food reactive hypoglycemia, which is not a good sign, because it is also a sign of pre-diabetic, and it's also a sign of insulin resistance that is coming along the way, which means that when I eat the high carb food, it spikes my blood glucose so high, and suddenly in the natural way, my body kicks in the insulin to bring the blood glucose lower, and this is the hormone insulin's natural reaction. And because maybe, as I have learned now, is that over the years, when I eat so much high carb, my insulin resistance, I have insulin resistance, which means that the insulin has need to be at a higher level in order to be able to bring the blood glucose lower. And what causes that happen? Because imagine that, and I always give this example, is that in a bedroom, we always infuse, let's say, one fragrance all the time, okay? And over time, you don't smell it anymore, but you got so used to it. This is what happened to ourselves. When we have insulin pumped into our blood glucose, in a healthy way, you just need a normal dose. But over time, because of so much carbohydrate that we eat and so much high glucose that we have, and we need, our body has to pump up even more insulin in order to bring the blood glucose lower. So when this happens, it could cause that the overpumping of insulin from our pancreas that causes to bring the blood glucose way lower than the normal level. And when it goes way lower than our borderline normal level, that becomes the low blood glucose symptom, which is called hypoglycemia.
Uh-huh.
And for my way, my causes of that is because of food reactive. And so that was happened to me. What kind of symptoms did I actually experience when hypoglycemia happened? I start to shiver and start to cold sweat. I felt hunger, and I just like immediately I need to grab something and eat it in order to bring my blood glucose back again. But that is a vicious cycle, because no, most people would actually just, you know, get something to eat. Of course, it's like starch or carbohydrate, and especially sugar, in order for them to bring up the blood glucose again.
Mm-hmm.
But then that would spike it back, and then insulin pumped again, and then it might come back again. So that was my problem of how hypoglycemia happened. It was not good.
I know it's not good. Now, when I first met you, I told you that my program is aimed at the African-American community.
Yes.
And I try to bring on people who can tell us about things they should know but usually do not hear.
Yes.
And I know that African-Americans, many have problems with diabetes, mm-hmm. and high blood pressure, mm-hmm. and the way they eat, and they need to lose weight. And you've proved that this diet works if you keep at it.
Yes.
But there are some mistakes people make doing keto.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit about the mistakes?
Yes. The most common mistake, I would narrow down to the top five biggest mistakes that people make, you know, doing keto, is that the top one mistake is that you're not eating enough fat. When I say fat, means the good fat. The good fat does include coconut oil, avocado oil, animal oil, butter, and olive oil, etc. These are good fat, which, yes, I understand that fat has been demonized for so long that people are so worried about eating fat, but do not fear about eating fat, because once you reduce the consumption of carbohydrates, you need to have to eat more good fat in order to first, number one, feel satiated. Number two, good fat actually increase your HDL level, which is really good for your cholesterol marker. So do not afraid to eat fat.
Okay.
As long as you reduce your carbohydrate to a low level. The second mistake is that people quit too soon, because many people, they feel like, you know, sometimes it's a little bit, it's too hard, it's too convenient. I mean, it's too inconvenient.
Inconvenient, yes.
Yes, it's too inconvenient to do that, because you haven't got used to how to acquire it to become a lifestyle. So quitting too soon could also because of so-called the common knowing is the keto flu. When we say keto flu, it's not actually a flu. It's just because when you reduce the carbohydrate intake, and which would mean that your body is going to switch from using blood glucose as the primary energy fuel by switching it to become the fat energy fuel. And during this transition, you might feel, for example, you have low energy, you might feel a little bit tired in the day. And this is what we call keto flu, which some people think that, well, why am I feeling more tired and I should eat sugar in order to pump up my energy? No, don't do that during the transition period, because you're teaching your body to, instead of burning glucose for energy, you are going to burn fat for energy. When I say fat for energy, it also includes the store fat in your fat cells is going to be released to become an energy fuel. So isn't that amazing that we have all our body, we have stored so much fat in our fat cells, we can actually release to become an energy source. And that's how people get lose weight and their fat cells get smaller and smaller and smaller.
All right.
So stay longer. Don't quit too soon.
So let me just stop you there.
Yes.
You have written that there are three foods that can make you look younger and three foods that can age you. Can you tell us what those are?
Yes, certainly. And this is a question that many people want to know, especially what three foods that can make you look younger. Okay, the first top food that I would recommend is eating protein. And the protein has to come from like seafood and meat, and say meat that includes like pork, beef, chicken. And of course, eggs is the best protein that we can get, because our body needs essential amino acids. Okay. And this essential amino acids has to come from dietary, because our body doesn't make it. So it has to come from eating the right food. Number two, food that would make makes you look younger is actually good fat. Why good fat? Because good fat is the essential fatty acids that our body needs. Again, our body don't make this essential fatty acids. And I have mentioned that what's the good fat, which is coconut oil, olive oil, etc. But it's especially omega-3 in fish that will actually make you look younger, because this is the essential fatty acids and, again, essential amino acids that will help our body, which is actually support our cells and for regeneration. So that will actually make us look younger too. The third one is, it's getting popular now, but it's actually a very, I would say, grandmother way that grandmother has done that for like long time ago. And it was not popular, but now it's getting more and more popular that this is actually a good way to do it. Is bone broth. Okay. Bone broth, which means that it's actually by cooking meat or poultry or fish bone in an extended period of time. And by doing that, is actually releasing the mineral and the other beneficial component in the bone. And one of this component is collagen. So collagen, it breaks down into gelatin, and it's actually really rich in the amino acids, and this you can absorb into your body and use them to form new collagen for your skin. And this is how you can have a lot of collagen that is into your body, encourage your body to make more collagen, and that's how we can plump up our skin and keep us look younger, which I would say that delaying the aging process.
Okay.
We all age, right, Leonard? But what we can do is that we want to delay the aging process.
That's right.
So this food is actually really good for doing that.
All right. So what are the foods that age you? Tell us that.
Yes. So the three foods that will age us fast is sugar.
Mm.
And sugar does not only limit it to like the granular sugar that we know. It actually includes honey. It includes the starch that is like carbohydrate, that when we eat it, it turns into glucose in our body. That's considered sugar too. So starch, sugar, and the third one is vegetable oil. Vegetable oil, we have mistook that vegetable oil is a healthy oil. Actually, I'm sorry, it is not.
Okay.
When I say vegetable oil, it also includes trans fat and margarine. These are fats that is not healthy for our body, and it will actually age us faster than we thought.
Interesting.
Yes.
Kelly, hang on. We're going to take a quick break, then come back for more. Our guest is Kelly Tan Peterson, who's an expert on the keto diet. We'll return with more of The Urban Connection in just a moment.
More of The Urban Connection, straight ahead. Stay tuned. Let's return to The Urban Connection. Once again, here's Leonard Birdsong.
We're back with Kelly Tan Peterson, the founder of the website CookingInspiredByLove.com, and that she's an expert in the keto diet. Kelly, you suggested menu for this diet includes any type of meat, including beef and lamb, pork, chicken, duck, goose, also fish, shellfish, crabs, lobster, prawns, salmon, and mackerel. Can most people afford to eat the things on this diet?
I would certainly say so, because there's people mistook that eating keto is actually an expensive diet. Actually, it's not, because there is a way to plan how you can buy your grocery, your meat, and all that in bulk. And in fact, many local grocery store, I have did my research, is that they do provide really big, nice cut of meat, which is in a very low cost way. And when our body actually eat the right food and provide the right nutrients, in the beginning, you may feel like, hey, you know, this is costing more than I used to buy. But trust me, when your body actually eat the right food, you eventually need less food, right? Right now, maybe you need to eat, for example, say about 6 to 10 ounces of meat in the meal in order to make you feel full. Okay, choose the fattier cut of meat, which is, again, it's a good fat. That will help you to be more satiated. And even if you need to eat more meat right now, it doesn't matter, because eventually, after, say, a couple of months, your body is so saturated that your food amount will reduce. And this has proven over and over again for so many people all over the world. So your grocery bills actually will eventually cut down, because you don't buy cookies, you don't buy chocolate, you don't buy bread, you don't buy rice, you don't buy noodles, you don't buy any canned food. You only focus on buying the real meat. And in fact, the grocery bill will go down. And this actually, many people realize that.
All right. Well, listen, can we eat vegetables in the, you know, meat is great. I love
yes.
it myself.
Yes.
But what about some vegetables with this?
Yes, you can eat vegetable. You can eat as much vegetable as you want, as long as you try to stay away from the root vegetable. Why? Because the leafy vegetable that is included, like spinach, kale, cabbage, or even cruciferous one like the broccoli or the cauliflower, you can eat as much as you can, because they have very high fiber and they have very low carb, okay? Compared to the root vegetable, and root vegetable, also, of course, including yams and potato is not a vegetable. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Potato is actually a starch. So stick to leafy vegetable, you will be fine. You can eat as much as you can. Just be careful if you are eating salad, be careful that you don't want to put dressings that include sugar, because most of the dressing, bottle dressing in the grocery store, when you look at the ingredient content, it has all kind of sugar, including like maltodextrin, even the front label say no sugar. Okay.
Yeah.
When you look at it in the back, it has some kind of sugar in it. So try to skip that. Don't do that.
So oil and vinegar is all right, though, huh?
Oil and vinegar is good. And if you squeeze, say, a fresh squeeze of lemon juice or lime juice and salt and pepper, that is totally delicious, and that is good.
Also, you say that almost all nuts are good for this kind of diet because they are a good source of fat. What kind of nuts are we talking about that we should eat and should not eat?
The recommended good nut, the best one is macadamia, because macadamia has the highest fat level. And almond, pecan, walnut, these are good. Pistachio and cashew has a little bit higher carb, so have it in a smaller amount. Try to stay away from peanut, because peanut, you know, even though it's called peanut, it's actually not a nut. It's actually a legume.
Right. What about fruit? Can we eat fruit in this diet?
Try to stay away from fruit. The reason is because fruit has very high fructose. But the only fruits that we would recommend is the lime, lemon, avocado. You can have a small amount of berries. And the berries is blueberries, blackberries, raspberries, strawberries. You can have a small amount, but don't eat a whole bowl. Use it as a treat. Like if you treat yourself once or twice a week after a meal, that's fine. But don't use it like the first thing in the morning you eat fruit. Because fruit itself is just fructose mainly. Besides fructose, which is the main thing, is water and the fiber. And it has really, really little minerals, which those minerals, you can have it in the green leafy vegetables, which is abundance of it. So keep the fruit level really low.
All right. I'm not a beer drinker, but I see on your list that beer ain't good for you.
Yeah. My husband, Dr. Dan, whom I actually learned from eating the low-carb, high-fat, ketogenic way of eating, he saved my life. He loves beer, obviously, but now he has cut down so much, you know, for over the 10 years, he has cut down almost all the beer. And because he said beer is actually a liquid carb. Mm. So it actually does spike your blood glucose. The main thing about ketogenic diet is that you want to eat food that doesn't spike your blood glucose too much.
All right.
So he probably would consider a low-carb beer maybe once a year for a treat, but that's all he does. So beer is not recommended. But you can actually try to switch drinking beer to a small amount of, say, vodka or brandy. Surprisingly, those are zero carb. But have it just a little shot of it with your meal. That's okay.
Okay. You are the founder of Cooking Inspired by Love, LLC.
Yes.
Tell us what this is. This is your business, your corporation?
It all started from my passion. I started low-carb diet and keto diet in 2009. That's when I started. It's 10 years, more than 10 years ago now. And I started it with experiencing it on myself. The first 3 years, I studied every article, every sign that I come to learn about it. I changed my life. I changed my health. And it became a passion that I started sharing with so many people around me. I started the Facebook group, and it is called Keto East. Keto West now, and Keto East is actually the Chinese version of the keto diet support group on Facebook. So I started with that as a passion, and it all evolved into become a business. So I call that Cooking Inspired by Love, same thing as my website, cookinginspiredbylove.com, because it all started with love. It all started with cooking and eating right with the love I have in heart. So this is how Cooking Inspired by Love, LLC came about. Because it's all about cooking and eating well. And I can guarantee you that you will eat so well that you can make this as a sustainable lifestyle.
I also understand you have a YouTube channel.
Yes, I have a YouTube channel. And that also you can actually find and link it to from my website, Cooking Inspired by Love. And I have shared a number of cooking videos, and I'll continue to share cooking video whenever I get some chance to do that.
Kelly Tan Peterson, the founder of the keto diet website, cookinginspiredbylove.com. I want to thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
And we've run out of time for this week. I'm Leonard Birdsong, inviting you to join us again next time for more of The Urban Connection.
That wraps up this episode of The Urban Connection with your host, Leonard Birdsong, a production of Syndication Networks of Chicago. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of The Urban Connection.